Welcome back. Second hour on a beautiful Saturday of speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I tell you something about great music that can just help make the day. All right, especially when it can kind of relax you, help put you at ease. Well, I tell you what, sometimes we have some things going on inside of us that can make it really, really difficult to be at ease. And it can be something as simple as, I say as simple as, it could be something going on outside of us. And when I say outside of us, maybe at school. We leave school and to an extent we've left the problem behind us till the next day when we return to school. But a lot of us know it doesn't work quite that way, because very often whatever may be causing problems for us, whatever the causative factors may be, even if we are not around that environment 24/7, the impact of what happens when we are in that environment can be with us even when we are not in the environment. Courtesy of WebMD, I'd like for you to listen along with me to this discussion of social anxiety disorder, something that can really, really take away the peace, something that can really cause problems. And even when the person is not around a group, not even mixing with society, just thinking about when it may happen again, got to go out there, be among them. Let's hear what one of the young ladies has to say about her experience.
I was just terrified because I wanted to get along with people, but I just didn't even know where to begin to start.
I thought, no biggie, she's just a little bit shy.
But Becky Bruno wasn't just a little shy. She struggled for years with social anxiety disorder before being diagnosed. Just as the name implies, the condition can socially cripple an otherwise healthy and intelligent person.
I would retreat to a bathroom in this building that I knew people wouldn't go in during lunch. And I would lock myself in one of the stalls and just cry a lot of the time.
According to the National Institute of Mental Health, about 15 million American adults suffer from social anxiety disorder. Some don't even know it, not realizing their social discomfort can be helped.
They get kind of paralyzed in tunnel vision, and they can't think of things to say.
This is Becky's psychiatrist speaking.
Call that shyness. The worse it gets, the more it's like a social anxiety disorder.
Symptoms may include nausea, sweating, dizziness, and a rapid heartbeat. Some even go into a panic when in a large group of people. Because of these reactions, those afflicted tend to shy away from social situations. Becky dealt with her isolation by tending to her pets and by writing down her feelings in a journal.
I really felt like I was on stage, like people were watching me and just ready, like with pre-notions, to not accept me.
Eventually, Becky's fears became so debilitating that her mother got her professional help. After being diagnosed, she was put on an anti-anxiety drug, a critical component in helping patients break their cycle of social paranoia.
So that we arrive at the party in a calmer way, and then we're probably much more likely to be successful at the party in being social.
But medication alone is normally not enough. A comprehensive treatment also involves what's called cognitive behavioral therapy, where a patient is led to confront their fears in a controlled setting.
Suddenly, I wasn't afraid to talk to people.
These days, Becky is less interested in what others might think of her and enjoys spending time with friends of her own choosing, even in a crowd.
What do you think about that? So anxious about being rejected, because that's really what it comes down to. You know, she was saying she really didn't think she'd be accepted, and so she'd retreat into a bathroom stall and just stay there and cry and just stay there and cry and just stay there and cry. And she would do that several times a week. That is amazing. Fear of rejection. Any of you experience anything like that? And remember something that she said. I thought this was so... I thought this was so significant. She said she wanted to be out there mixing it up with other people. She wasn't comfortable isolating herself. She wanted to be with other people, having fun with other people, enjoying being with other people. But she couldn't do it because she was so afraid she would not be accepted. And then for her, the treatment, as is the case for many people, drug therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy, which I truly believe is the way to go. I think that it is probably a travesty for a person to be only treated with the drugs. So you have the chemical thing going on, and that's it. I think that it really is helpful to get with a professional who can also help the person talk through what they're going on. This trained professional can help pick up on the root causes of the fears that give rise to the anxiety. They can help the person think through and talk through those fears, so they get to the point where they begin to realize not only are the fears irrational, but they're not at all helpful. And they can help that person begin to develop a different way of thinking, a different way of processing their thoughts about various issues that have to do with being out there with the crowd, in the crowd. And I tell you, just seeing Becky smiling the way she smiles when she's out there, even in public places like a mall. Can you imagine going from being locked up by choice in a bathroom stall to hanging out in a mall? What a difference. Well, let's listen some more about anxiety. Let's see if we can get ourselves some help with this. And now we're going to take a look at the possibility of anxiety disorders and the family connection.
Remember something. Anxiety is genetic, but it's also environmental. And there is something that we call contagious anxiety. In other words, you're a little kid, and you watch because you learn by watching, okay? Vicarious learning. You watch, how does mom react to that? How does dad react to that? What? Well, that's the way I guess I should. You modeled your behavior. You learn to be anxious. You learn to be helpless. You learn not to be able to cope. And you can unlearn it. Just as well as you've learned it, you can unlearn it. And the first time you show yourself that you can do something, don't forget to pat yourself on the back. Reward yourself. You see? You did it. You can do it again. All right, let's go. Be a rooter for yourself. Be a coach for yourself. Yes, you can do it. It doesn't mean that you are doomed to a life of anxiety, you know? No, there are things that can be done.
And you notice, by the way, she is Dr. Patricia Farrell, a clinical psychologist. And you notice that when she talked about anxiety and that family connection, she said something that I think a lot of you probably found very encouraging. In fact, probably had you breathe a sigh of relief. The fact that in this particular case, the family connection was not a chemical connection. In other words, you did not have the chemical nature that causes the anxiety that may have been involved with your parents' anxiety passed into you. No, you just were a great learner. You watched, you observed, you took notes, even if only in your mind, and you modeled what you observed. You began to live it out. Oh, wow. Okay, even if you couldn't put words to it and say, my parents are so anxious, or my parent is so riddled with anxiety, you may not have used that word at all, but just by watching their behavior. And very often, children do live what they learn. We see anxiety modeled, and a lot of times children will grow up anxious because they train themselves to react to life, to respond to life, the way they see their parents responding to it. Isn't it good news to know you can unlearn that kind of thinking, that kind of behavior, and do very, very well as a result? I tell you what, I don't even have problems with anxiety, and that's encouraging to me to know that a person really can simply unlearn what they learned and do so much better. All right, let's listen to one more dealing with anxiety. I was tempted to spread these out and go ahead and share one segment on anxiety, then talk about something else. We're going to look at vaccinations again, share something else, you know, a little bit more about anxiety, and then go ahead and come on back to vaccinations, anxiety, and then move to another topic that we're going to look at today, focusing on the medical marijuana options, the pros, cons, the positions that those who say yes, medical marijuana should be a medical option, those who say no, it should not be an option, and then finish up the anxiety. But then I decided, you know what, it may be easier in the long run to really follow through with this, to really benefit from the discussion by putting all of the discussion about anxiety together. So that's what I did. So let's hear one more that has to do with anxiety.
I think the both of them go together.
Now, this is what she's referring to. Both of them go together. The question is, what's more important in controlling anxiety? Counseling or medication? What's more important in controlling anxiety? Counseling or medication? Let's move with that again.
I think the both of them go together. When someone finds that they can't do it totally on themselves or on their own, they go and they get some medication, and if it's needed, and that's fine. We live, you know, I have to tell you, we live in one of the best of times. If we had lived in the 50s or the 40s and we were anxious or depressed or we had panic disorder, we would be put in a hospital. We'd be locked up. And the treatments we would receive would be less than humane. But today, we have many, many options. We can take medications for when we're going to make a presentation, when we're feeling anxious, for our depression. But we can also learn how to handle these things ourselves. So we can use a combination, medications and counseling or therapy. The two of them together are your best way to handle this. Once life gets out of control, don't let it do that to you. As much as you don't want to, take back control. Take the first step, because that's the first step you take to health.
What do you think about that? Taking that first step, getting the professional help, or if you will, professional support that can help you move past debilitation, help you move past being just shut down by anxiety. I tell you, I think it's important for us to realize that we do have options and we need to take advantage of them. As I've said before, there are times when, as Dr. Farrell was saying, we really can handle the situation on our own. And when I say on our own may mean just that, on our own, not discussing the matter with anyone. In some kind of way, our Creator enables us to get free from situations, and boom, it's done, it's over with. Sometimes we do need to talk with someone, but someone may be a close family member whom we trust, a close friend whom we trust, maybe someone in the religious field whom we trust, and we can talk with that person, even if that person is not trained to help. But whatever is needed in helping us work through that which is trying to shut us down, they have it. So we talk with them, and the situation just improves dramatically. At other times, we need to have professional support from someone who is trained in helping us deal with whatever it is that's trying to make our lives miserable. Now, here's the thing. There are just times when our leg is hurting and we may be able to take care of it ourselves. We may be able to just simply get some alcohol, dab the area where it's hurting, and we're good. Maybe cover it with a large Band-Aid or some gauze for a day or two. Look at it, see that it's looking like it's beginning to heal. Take the Band-Aids off, take the gauze off, let it get that exposure to the air, let it heal. Sometimes that leg is hurting, and we really do need to get an opinion. What's going on here? And so sometimes that leg is hurting, depending on what has taken place, we may need professional support in getting that leg to heal. You know, if a bone has been fractured, it's not a good idea to let it set in the wrong position. Much better to go to a professional, a physician who is trained at resetting broken bones, and then putting us in whatever medical gear we may need to use for a time while that leg heals. Nothing wrong with having received, in fact, having gone for and requested that professional support. Sometimes there are things going on in our stomachs. And I mean, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of maybe, you know, I'm not trying to take away anybody's fun or anything like that, but sometimes it's just a matter of eating less food for a while, or maybe cutting back forever. I'm not saying starving ourselves, but just cutting back. Sometimes there's something going on, and maybe it was food poisoning and a matter of getting it all out of our systems, bringing it back up. And sometimes people can just do that on our own. Just bring it up, bring it up, bring it up, bring it up over the course of a number of hours until all of that enemy causing that upset, poison, whatever it is, a bad bacteria is out of the system and is no longer making us sick, and we begin to recover. Sometimes there's something going on in our stomachs. We don't know what it is, but we need professional support in helping us deal with that problem. So we may need to have our stomachs pumped out and put on some kind of medication to help us recover. Sometimes there are things going on with us emotionally where we just need professional support. Nothing wrong with getting professional support to help us be the best persons we can be. All right, when we come back, let's take a look some more at this whole issue of vaccination. To vaccinate or not to vaccinate our children.